Hello, this is Tiara.
Hello, this is Allie.
And this is the Goddess Vibration. Welcome back, you guys. Today we are going to dive. I know that we have talked about this like sparingly in other episodes, but we want to revisit this because we got a lot more insight into this, and I think what we've discovered is going to make a lot of sense to a lot of people. And I think this particular topic is very, very needed. It's information that's not readily out there, and it's also something that I can relate to. So we're going to dive into the false ascension matrix. And I know that that sounds super technical. I promise we're going to explain what it means. But it's actually so fascinating. And I honestly think it is one of the reasons why so many people are struggling to heal and ascend today.
Well, before we begin, I think we should explain to our audience what the false ascension matrix is.
Right. So I know that we have referenced many times that we go to the Ascension Glossary, which is basically a web page where, for those of you who are on like a spiritual ascension journey, you can get information about what that entails. And the author of the sites, she uses very, very technical language, and she goes into depth, like the deepest possible layer of information when it comes to some of these topics. So I kind of did a deep dive into the false ascension matrix, as it's what she calls it, but I feel like that term doesn't really accurately describe what it is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share what she says, like on her website, and then we're going to share our interpretation just because I think it'll be a lot easier just because she uses such technical language. So, you know, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page when it comes to some of this stuff, because I've gotten lost on that website just because of the depth of the information that's on there. So please bear with us. So when she describes this, she goes straight to like the whole alien agenda, alien technology thing, which I feel like is like, I get why she's going that route. You know, she wants to be thorough, but in the grander scheme of things, it's not really about that. Essentially what she says in a nutshell is that those that be, or the cabal, or like, you know, those on this planet who are linked to the satanic agenda, they use alien technology on the astral plane that creates something called false white light. And what that does is it creates these delusions within the self, sort of kind of keeping people in complacency and in these states of bliss. Now, that's super, super technical. What I think she's trying to say is that there are a lot of people who are caught in these beliefs or patterns that sort of misinterpret what it really means to heal and ascend and sort of keep people stuck doing spiritual work that's not getting them anywhere. I hope that makes more sense. Is that how you interpreted it?
In my brain, I just kind of see it as a state of delusion. I mean, just to make it as simple as possible, I think that the false ascension matrix is just, I think people get into these beliefs, and I'm going to give you an example of a belief where people just assume ascension is all about like love and light and being positive and always needing to have positive thoughts. And like the only way that you can get there is through love and light, and you can skip the hardest part of the journey, which just right. So happens to be shadow work.
Right. I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's also what I see. And I see it so much online and on social media. And the focus is always like love and light. And if you want to heal your past, you can use this purple flame and, you know, just set the proper intentions and everything will manifest for you just like you want, all your dreams. And I'm just like, well, where is the focus on shadow work and the past life healing and dealing with your traumas and working through these patterns that you're carrying that are destructive to yourself and to others? Like, why isn't that being promoted and emphasized in the same way? So she, on, you know, the Ascension Glossary website, she would say that that is in of itself the false ascension matrix, that there is no focus in the New Age community on shadow work. Which it when I look at it and, you know, think about it, it makes a lot of sense. And I know it does personal for me, because I believed a lot of that stuff. You know, I got caught up in the love and lights and like, this is all you need to do. And the crazy thing about it is that once you start following some of those teachings, you do feel better. Like, you do feel lighter, and, you know, your mood improves and you just feel so good about yourself and the things that you're doing. And ultimately, I hate to say this and I hate to use this term, but ultimately, it's a deception and it's a delusion, because at its core, you're not doing the deeper work necessary to really get to where you want to be. And she, on this Ascension website, actually calls that, I don't know why she uses this term, but she calls it astral bliss, where she says that people get stuck in a state of bliss that is there and is real, but it's not it's not permanent. And at some point, that state of bliss is going to dissipate. It's just a matter of when. So I thought it was so, so, so interesting that she, you know, framed it that way. And, you know, I see a lot of what she's talking about online and on social media, and I lived it too. So I absolutely understand what she's talking about when she talks about, like, people getting trapped and stuck in this.
When did it dissipate for you?
Probably around the time that I was going through a period of, what would I call it? What felt like abandonment, I think. Not long after I separated from my husband. Like, that was hard. Actually, now that I think about it, I think that the whole process of separating from my husband is where it began, and it kind of just started to slide further and further and further over the next months beyond that. And I separated from him, oh gosh, when was that? September 2023. Gosh, I can't believe freaking halfway through 2024 already. Is crazy.
It is crazy. So was it a trigger for you? Like, what, like you said, it was a sense of abandonment, but so was that like the trigger?
No, I know I brought up the sense of abandonment, but I kind of feel like the initial trigger was the separation, because before that, I was content. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm blissfully happy. It was more just like, oh, well, I'm happy enough. I'm content. Which, just for the record, isn't really your natural state of being. But a lot of us exist there, and we kind of just stay there and we stay complacent. So I was there. And then once I realized that essentially I wasn't happy in this connection, I had to step back and look at why, and look at that dynamic that was in the marriage that wasn't healthy, that was making me feel the way I was. And that is really hard to do. Like, it's very, very hard to do that. And you have all these emotions, because at the end of the day, like, okay, well, I love this person. I love this person very much. But at the same time, it's like, well, I can't be with this person. And so that's hard to reconcile in your mind. And it was for me. So, you know, I had to step back and look at the relationship and see what was there. And then a big part of me felt like I had to do something I didn't want to do, which was break his heart. And that was, again, also very hard. So that's kind of where it began. And then there was a period of what felt like abandonment, where I slid to the, like, slid deeper. So it was kind of like a series of events. There wasn't, like, necessarily any one event. I hope that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. I'm just trying to give our audience an idea of, like, you know, a major life change or some type of trigger that can trigger these deeper emotions when you live in this state of bliss, we'll say, and you realize, like, all it takes is one shift or one event or one major life change to be like, wait, so everything I was feeling isn't really what I was feeling, and there's deeper stuff there, but then you don't want to go into the deeper stuff. So then you just kind of get into this, the trauma responses freeze. You just kind of get in this frozen state of, well, I don't want to do anything because I don't want to make it worse. And obviously I just want it to get better. But when you're in freeze and you're unwilling to move from that space, you just feel helpless, stuck, like no direction, and you're just kind of there and you don't want to move because you don't want things to get worse. Obviously, you want things to get better, but you're too afraid that things will get worse that you just feel very stagnant and stuck.
So this kind of stuff, like where people kind of get into these stuck states, I think it's really interesting because it kind of comes from two places. I feel like we as humans, like our minds are built to protect us and to protect our psyche. And I think a lot of times when we have deep hurt and deep trauma, that our mind sort of tries to protect us from that, which it could be a good thing, but it can also be a very bad thing. And I think that a lot of us kind of get stuck in this place where it's like, okay, well, we want to be better and we want to do better, but my mind is trying to protect me from the hurt. And like, how do I get past that? I'm not quite sure. I have to really push myself to do so. And that takes a lot of courage and it takes a lot of self-reflection and it takes a lot of strength to push yourself past that protection. For me personally, it's probably the hardest thing I've ever done because a lot of the patterns that I have come from hurt that has been there for a very, very long time, not just in this lifetime. Like, you know, I'm familiar about my soul's prior lives, at least some of them, and the patterns that were there. But it's hard to do that. And it's actually really scary too, because a lot of people don't want to go revisit that stuff. Like that stuff you're being protected from it for a reason. And so I kind of like can relate to people who are kind of stuck in that space. But at the same time, it's like, gosh, how do you get the courage and the strength to move past that, you know, to have something better and, you know, really start to find your true self? It's really hard to do.
It is hard to do. I know that I, as well as others, have been pushing TR particularly to do deeper work, and that's a process. I'm not going to pretend that it was easy to break down that wall with her. It was very, very difficult, and, you know, she often said to me, like, you know, I'm comfortable at the pace that I'm healing, and I'm comfortable with what I'm comfortable with, and there's really no changing my mind. And I feel like a lot of people do that in their healing journey. But what you don't realize is that if you don't push yourself to go deeper, as unpleasant as it can be, you don't know how you are stunting your growth. And people don't have the awareness to know how they are stunting their growth. And I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, that's always a personal choice. But if you guys really want to truly ascend, you're going to have to push past your comfort zone.
I love that. And I actually came up with a term about this process and sort of some of the things that come of it. I use the term devastating truths, because ultimately this entire, at least for me, in my opinion, I think that this entire journey, you know, shifting from that state to awakening and then to healing and to ascending, is a journey of devastating truths, because you learn about the our existence here, and you learn about the powers that be and some of the lengths that they are willing to go to keep us in these low vibrational states. And you learn about these patterns in your family that are destructive and how you've played a role in that and what it's done to you. And then you have to kind of get to this place of, well, okay, so this has affected me. Well, what did that look like? What does that look like? And essentially, it's just like a series of devastating truths. And that's very hard to do. And I just wish that those people out there who are pushing this new age stuff would really talk more about this, because like, I think more people need to know what it takes, and more people need to know what the process truly looks like. And for whatever reason, that information is just not readily available out there, and it makes me insane. It makes me insane.
There are a couple spiritual teachers who talk about it. I have come across like some TikToks of people. It's actually really weird, because everyone knows that our phones are basically like spyware, and you know that they're always listening to our conversations. And TR and I were actually having this conversation about how everyone's talking about love and light and no one's talking about doing shadow work. And ironically enough, it was either the same day or the next day I came across a spiritual teacher who was saying exactly what her and I were talking about in a TikTok, saying you have to be careful listening to all these spiritual teachers talking about love and light. And he was just like, if you do not start doing shadow work, you're not being true to yourself. You're not being true to your journey. And that shadow work is really necessary if you want to actually do true ascension. So I think there are spiritual teachers out there who are aware of this false narrative and false matrix. And really, like, if you really are a light worker, you need to be honest with your audience, which is something that TR and I have always strived for in this podcast. We always strive to be authentic and honest, because there is so much misinformation, disinformation, and people just kind of spreading their own agenda, almost in a way of like emotional manipulation. And it's a trap. And TR and I have also had conversations where we see people, you know, building a brand around false pretenses, and, you know, people are following it. And people, you know, I understand the world's in a shitty state right now. No one's denying that. And I understand that, like, the last thing you want to do in your journey is to go deeper into yourself and find that trauma and process that trauma. Like, that doesn't sound fun. Like, you want to be more on the positive side, and you want to follow more of the positive things, and you want to not think about all the hurt and trauma and shit that you have to process. Instead, you're just like, no, I like this love and light thing, like staying positive, having positive thoughts. And I understand the appeal of that. But I would say that that's kind of what happened to Tiara. And it really took me a lot of time and effort and energy to be like, it's not working. And she was like, well, what do you mean? And I was just like, you're not doing the deeper work. And she fought me, not like angrily fought, but like she pushed back and was just like, no, I'm comfortable doing what I'm doing. And I was just like, okay, I obviously can't force you. I'm not going to try to force you. I'm just trying to be informative.
Speaking of that, you know, I'm kind of curious about people who might know someone in such a situation, or like might know people who are kind of stuck in the false teachings or following the false teachings. What would you advise for someone like that? Like if they know someone who might be like, you know, stuck in that false, what you call it? Astral bliss.
What's my advice?
For someone who knows someone who's maybe stuck in that space of comfort, because I know that like a lot of people are there and are in that state, and it's difficult to escape that. So for someone who maybe might know someone who's in a similar state, like, do you have any advice or recommendations for them?
Advice or recommendations? I mean, here's the thing about people nowadays, and I'm very careful when I talk about this topic. I don't know when it shifted or why it shifted, but I feel as if people have become a lot more sensitive. And so I think through the process of people becoming more sensitive, I feel like people can't speak authentically and truly. And I would say for me, I know how I push some of my friends through it is that I'm very authentic and honest with them. And I use my personal journey and story. And I think people respond to that. I think people respond to truth and authenticity. However, if you are a hypersensitive person, that's not going to work. And I'm just kind of giving you my perspective on that. But I feel like more people need to speak up and more people need to live in a space of being authentic with others. I know I'm going to be honest about something in my journey. I have always had people call me out, like, about my behavior or about my mannerisms. And although as unpleasant as it may be, it was really that truth that helped me wake up and be able to analyze some of the things that, like, maybe I'm doing that affect other people. And if you don't have that awareness, then if someone else in your life does have that awareness, and if you're cool with them, I mean, you don't need to be so direct and attack that person, but like, you know, if you're really a true friend, in my opinion, if you really are a true friend, you need to be able to be comfortable in that connection to really help out that person if you have that awareness and be like, hey, maybe you shouldn't have done that. Or, hey, maybe you should look deeper into this. I have been very blessed with people doing that to me in my life because it helps bring that awareness out where I'm just like, okay, how did that conversation with that stranger, like, sometimes I'll go back and like analyze my own behavior and being like, was I too forward? Was I too direct? Did I rub them the wrong way? I just have that awareness now because I built it. And I would say that if you know people who don't have that awareness, and if you're cool with them or if you're friends with them, the best thing you can do is point some things out, regardless of whether or not they like it. If they are really a true friend to you back, they will actually appreciate the structural criticism. And so I would say that's my recommendation. If you have the skills and awareness to help others, and if you're cool with them, you should throw them a bone. They might not like it initially, but at the end of the day, it's actually you're doing them a great service.
You know, that is so interesting because I come from a family where we don't do that, like calling people out on their behavior. I don't know if this is common in a lot of families. I kind of get the impression it is, where like we all see the terrible behavior and we see what it's doing, but no one says anything. And I know in my family, like we have seen loved ones get into these cycles, or maybe, you know, for example, my sister might get into a relationship that's like toxic, you know, and it's like blatantly unhealthy. And like, we all know it, but no one says anything. And it's almost like this taboo thing to say anything about it, or to like address it, or, you know, to mention it. And I think that that's so destructive. And I think a lot of people probably have similar dynamics where they're in these households and everyone sees the negative behavior, but no one says a word. So if you have the courage and the strength to actually say something and call people out, I do think that that does people a huge service. And it's unfortunate that, you know, so many of us don't have the courage to do so. I think for a lot of people, it comes down to, oh, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings, or, you know, I don't want to ruin this connection. I don't want to ruin this friendship. But if you help them see a truth that they didn't, that's very impactful.
I mean, indeed it is. And I don't want to belittle Tiara when I say this, and I don't mean it with malicious intent, but Tiara in many ways has been kind of my guinea pig. It's just because her and I have such a very strong connection, and she knows what's true in my heart, and she knows that any criticism I say to her, she knows it's not coming from a malice place. And I think that's really important in connections. If you know the person true at their core, regardless of whether or not they have to have tough conversations sometimes, then, I mean, it speaks truth to the connection you have with that person and like the trust that you have with that person. And I think connections, when you're sharing some of these things with that person, I think like your connection is obviously very important. And I have felt comfortable enough with Tiara. Tiara and I have known each other for over 10 years, guys. So I have felt comfortable enough to kind of steer her in a new path and be able to say like, hey, your marriage is toxic. Did she like it? Probably not. But it at least opened her eyes to the possibility of some of the toxicity in her marriage. And I know when Tiara was, you know, going through the whole separation, she was talking about it with family. And she even told me, she was like, oh yeah, my sisters were like, oh, we've noticed that in your marriage. And I was like, did they say anything? And she was like, no. And I was like, so they noticed it and they knew. And she was like, it's just a thing in our family. And I'm like, that's interesting.
Right. That's why I brought up my whole family dynamic, because yeah, it was literally like that. Like we would just watch, and it was always like this kind of unspoken thing where it would be like, okay, well, let's just watch and see where this goes. It'll probably crash and burn, but you know, maybe she'll learn her lessons. It was I don't know where that comes from. I don't know why that's there, but that's just how it's been in my family. And, you know, I'm going to be shifting some of that. Like, you know, I kind of feel like at this place, or at this space that I'm in, where I'm just like, why have we been doing this? Like, why aren't we calling people out? Why aren't we saying things that need to be said? You know, like this is crazy. It's madness. So I'm going to be having some very interesting conversations with some loved ones this summer. I'll just leave it at that.
So I would say that not everyone possesses or has the awareness of emotional intelligence. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's the end all be all, because nothing is the end all be all. But emotional intelligence is actually a very important component if you want to ascend. And I feel like so many things are being taught on the mental side of ascension, where it's think positive thoughts and this is how you manifest and you have to live in love and light and you have to be forgiving. And I'm not saying that none of that is a component. It absolutely is. But I feel like the other component is from the emotional side of having that self-awareness and being able to look at yourself and look at others, being able to look at the dynamic you have in a situation or even with a person. And if you do not possess those skills, you are most likely going to be part of this astral bliss or the false ascension matrix, because there is a whole other side of proper ascension that involves a high level of self-awareness and emotional intelligence.
You know, the emotional intelligence thing is interesting because I do know that I lack that. And societally, like in our society, particularly in Western culture, there seems to be a lot of that lack, like that lacking and that missing of the emotional aspects. And I think a big part of it is because, for whatever reason, our society and the programming behind it is just overly masculine, and it's excessively masculine. And so it's like everything's logical and, you know, rational, and all your decisions should be like, you know, rational, and there needs to be evidence and scientific basis behind it. And that other side of it, where it's like more about the emotional and spiritual aspects of the self, gets neglected. And so I think that, you know, a lot of people fall into that trap and they kind of lose that emotional aspect of themselves, and that manifests very negatively in their lives, because you have things like, you know, not having the emotional awareness or the emotional intelligence to really be able to reflect and see that your behaviors need to change, your way of relating to the world needs to change or shift.
So Tiara, as a person who, you just said that you lack that emotional intelligence component, can you talk a little bit about what that looks like and how that might affect others in a similar situation?
Okay, so this is where it's kind of funny, because while I lack emotional intelligence, I didn't have the emotional intelligence to know that I lacked emotional intelligence. So that's probably the first thing, is like, it was hard for me to know that I lacked the emotional intelligence. And when you come from that place, like, nothing makes sense. So I've struggled with sort of deconstructing nuances and or like little things in my behavior in regards to how it affects myself and how it could potentially affect others. I struggle with reading other people emotionally. You know, I've started to recognize it a little bit and practice with it a little bit. But for a long time, that was really, really hard to do as well. I also struggled with recognizing emotions that I might be carrying within myself, which sort of creates this huge disconnect from your emotions internally. And for myself, that came from childhood. For some other people, it might look like suppressing your emotions intentionally. Just to be clear, when that happens, it's something that you could be doing consciously or unconsciously. If it's unconscious, it's typically tied to childhood trauma. Not always, but often. So yeah, when you are missing those skills, the deeper healing and the ascending is very, very difficult, because you kind of get to this place where these emotions are here, they're coming up, and you feel overwhelmed by it. And I know that a lot of the stuff I've been discovering emotionally has been so overwhelming because I've been so out of touch with them for so long. So I know that there are a lot of people who are probably in a similar space, especially considering the overly masculine nature of our society. And it's tricky to navigate. You know, if you're feeling like, hey, you know, I think I might be lacking in emotional intelligence, I really recommend working with someone. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a counselor or a therapist, but just working with someone who can help you reconnect to those emotions and build those skills behind emotional intelligence, because Allie's right, you're going to really, really need them.
I just want to shift to the programming, because programming happens basically the day that we're born. Like, the day that we are born, we are assigned a name, we are assigned basically a number, and, you know, we, like, make it on some list of being like, yes, this human was born on this day, and it's just like, great, now let's get them in the system. And then you're in the system, and then, you know, they tell you, like, hi, yeah, you're gonna go to school, and you're gonna do elementary school, middle school, high school, and then we want you to go to college. But we don't care that you can afford college, but you can just, you know, take out massive, massive loads of debt and go to college. And then you're basically screwed by the time that you get out of school, that you are gonna start working. And you're officially an adult, and now you're in massive amounts of debt, and minimum wages are not, you know, livable, and good luck. And they trap you in this very dark, deep programming thinking, like, this is the way that you need to live, and this is how you become successful, and this is how you achieve, quote unquote, the American dream. And so I know that, like, I was fortunate enough to grow up in a household where both of my parents actually, like, fought against the matrix and the programming in many ways. Like, my parents were always like, you don't need a college degree to be successful. They were like, a college degree is absolutely useful for certain fields, but something like business, you don't need it. But of course, me being stubborn, I didn't listen. I was like, no, I'm going to go to school. I want the college experience. I want that college degree. I don't know why it was so important to me at the time. It just was. And so I think, like, being able to recognize, like, being so embedded into the programming and then breaking free of the programming, it's just been a complete night and day outlook on really what's going on in society.
So I'm still trying to, but apparently when you break free from the matrix, the perspective on everything changes, like, night and day, like 100% shifts in perspective, and, like, you know, you can see the bigger picture. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, don't you agree? I think, like, I know for me personally, for the past, I don't know, year and a half, I've been trying to break Tiara free of the matrix. And it really kind of took Tiara coming to visit me here in Colombia, where I currently am, and her being like, oh, I don't know why, but, like, you guys have different access to news here. It could be as simple as, like, even a 3D thing of, why is the news different here than it is in America? And I think it's just, you know, travel is obviously a fantastic outlet, and it's a fantastic way to really kind of be able to look at your home country and be like, wow, like, what the fuck has been going on? And it's just like, I don't think Tiara really would have gotten that perspective if she hadn't had come visited me, and then, you know, kind of pushing her more out of her comfort zone. And the more that I did that, and as much as she pushed back on it, the more she was just she kind of had to, you know, there's a transition period with it, but then she was just like, you know what? Like, my stomach feels better. Like, I'm not as bloated and I'm not killing my gut. Or the news is different and you start to notice and see things. And it's really like through those experiences too, that you're just like, what have I been a part of?
Yeah, I like traveling is a great step out of the matrix. Like it's kind of like taking one step out and you sort of get this broader perspective, this newer perspective, and you see things that you didn't see before. And I do know that there are many who have used travel to escape the matrix. Like, you know, sometimes I see posts about people who have gone to live in the countryside and they just, everything makes sense to them now. And they're just like, I see what I was part of and I'm so glad I'm not part of it anymore. Travel is a fantastic way to, you know, get a broader view. It definitely is. And the whole news thing is just mind-boggling. Like, I know we've talked about this on other episodes about how the news is so different in, for example, the United States versus like some of these other countries, even in South America. Like the things that they're reporting in other countries is not what they're reporting in the United States about the United States or about them. Like it's just night and day. And some of the big protests that were happening in Europe, the only way I found out was by leaving the United States. Because they were not covering it at all in the U.S. And I was just like, why is the coverage so different? And, you know, it starts to make sense. Oh, my gosh. Like, they're trying to manipulate us through the news. They're trying to induce fear. So it's just, it's so interesting. And it really opens your eyes to the broader nature of our existence and the people who go out of their way to control us.
And I think something that people don't understand is that the U.S. government in particularly, they manipulate us in so many different ways. Like they have the top 1% like making decisions for the rest of the people. And the dark shit that's really happening about how like the top 1% is buying up all this farmland and using their own chemically pesticides. And they are poisoning the people, and I don't understand why they are given the amount of power to buy up farmland, to use their own chemically made pesticides that we digest, and they are like being able to make fake meat and passing it off as real meat, and it's just so dark. And what people also don't realize is that all those chemicals are a frequency, they're an energy. And so when you're digesting them, they are chemically designed to also keep us in lower vibrations. And it's coming out everywhere. It's in music, it's in our food, it's in our news. It's the amount of effort that they go in to keeping people in the lowest vibrational emotions, moods. It's just it's mind blowing, like the lengths that they will go to.
It really is. And I was trying to watch a show. So I like to watch, I'm just going to preface this by saying that I like to watch cartoons, particularly adult cartoons. So like South Park, what's another big one? Oh my God, what is the show I watched? Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty is one of my favorites, regular show. I like to watch adult cartoons. And so I was watching HBO Max and I was going to watch another one. And I don't remember the title of it, but I remember I turned it on and within like 5 minutes, I saw like 3 or 4 demonic symbols. And I was like, oh no, I can't watch this. So that's what I mean. Like, you know, when Ali says like, it's so in your face and it's so everywhere, like it really is. And I've even seen TikToks about people talking about the food. I know Ali mentioned the food, but there are people talking about how particularly like the fruits in the US are altered.
They're all GMO. They're all GMO. They're all genetically modified organisms.
Yeah, and it's like they try to cut it and it doesn't cut right, or they like it's like more flexible than it should be, or it's like I saw someone that showed blackberries, or I'm sorry, they were blueberries, and he cut into one and it looked like rubber. Like there was no juice, there was no like pulp. It was just like he cut into a tire. And I'm just like, what in the world is going on with the food over there? Like, it's Frankenfood. Like Frankenstein, Frankenfood.
No, I get it.
Haha. But it's just, yeah, the lengths that they're going to, it just blows my freaking mind. And I'm just like, they're literally altering everything. Everything from head to toe is altered.
Oh, yeah. And like, it's honestly in everything that you use, like plastic. It's just, even if it says BPA free, it doesn't mean that it's safe. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen like people like cutting on the plastic cutting boards and showing like how much microplastic comes up like from cutting, and then you're putting that into your food and digesting that. And it's just like, why are they still making these materials if we're digesting all these toxic and pollution and toxic chemicals? And I'm just like, I don't understand. And plastic, and it's just like, God, who knows what's really going on inside of our systems?
Seriously. You know, I've seen a couple studies showing how much microplastics are in our bodies. Like an ungodly amount.
Oh my God, it's uncanny.
Right. And I'm just like, oh, we're so doomed. Like, I just, wow.
So that's like really like what's going on like on our planet, especially in the United States. Like both Tiara and I are from the United States, so we're referencing that. But really, guys, like that's really what's going on in that country. And my heart goes out to all of you. I'm going to try to stay out of the United States for as long as possible. Like, I don't care how much of a nomad I have to be or how many countries I have to go to. But like, I mean, anyone who has any sense of what's going on, who can get out, I do understand that like people are leaving. And like, I did see an article that people are actually renouncing their U.S. citizenship at an alarming rate. And I was like, yeah, I don't blame them. I don't.
Yeah, and like the whole digital nomad thing is just blowing up, and all these countries are trying to catch up and like cash in on it. And like people definitely are trying to find their other options. And you know, I kind of did something similar. I have to go back for a few weeks, unfortunately, and I am not looking forward to it. And I'm going to keep myself busy. As far as like foods, oh God, like, I think I've kind of decided that I'm just going to get my fruits and veggies from the farmer's market, and then maybe meats. I might just like go to a farm and ask for a cow. I don't really know what I'm going to do about that necessarily. I'm just kind of like exploring my options a little bit. But like, you know, it's crazy when you're in the US and you go into a grocery store. I had this realization a couple months ago while in the store that like, gosh, almost 80% of the stuff there is just not safe to eat.
No, not at all. And I don't mean to cut Tiara off on this, but like, it is so scary. Like, I have seen TikToks of people who have been out of the United States, like teaching overseas for maybe 3 or 4 years, and they'll go back to the US. And, you know, obviously, like, the US has good tasting food. I don't know if it's good for you, but at least it's good tasting. And so everyone has like their, you know, their that one meal or that one restaurant or fast food of people like, I can't wait. Like, I just can't wait to have that burger, or I can't wait to have that home cooked meal. And they will say, like, I have not been in this country less than 12 hours and I am already bloated. I am already like, I feel like my insides are getting torn out. And it's because our bodies get used to, you know, the food of whichever country they're in, obviously. But it's uncanny that someone can go back to the United States after not being there for 3 or 4 years and get their favorite meal and be like, I'm bloated, I'm tired, I'm cranky, I feel like my guts are being torn out of my stomach. And they're just like, what the hell's going on with the food in America?
Right. And that is, oh my God, like my number one fear. And for the record, I do have that place that I'm just like, I can't wait to go back to. It's called Makuni's Sushi in Sacramento, California. That's the one place I always look forward to when I return to the United States. But in regards to like the way you feel, when I came to Colombia, it was an adjustment with the food. But and at that time, I had already been placed on like a diet by my chiropractor. So I wasn't eating dairy. I wasn't eating wheat or rice or starches. All I was really eating was meat, fruits, and vegetables. So I did that for a couple months. And I think I have lost about 20 pounds. Nothing fits anymore. I actually had to go and buy clothes because the weight loss was so dramatic. And, you know, I'm a little concerned about returning to the U.S. and putting all that weight back on because I know that it's the food. Like, I know that that's why. Whatever they're doing to it, whatever chemicals they're putting in it, like, I just, like, the food thing is really giving me anxiety, you guys.
Aww.
But, like I said, I kind of have a strategy. I just need to go find a farm that'll give me a cow.
Okay. I mean, I like the strategy, but like you're also going to have to tell that farm to butcher it and then obviously give you however much supply of meat you want.
Well, I'll need more than that. Like, you know, I'll need like milk and butter and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I know
like raw milk.
Get that yeah. Sometimes you can get that stuff at the farmer's market. Sometimes you have to go to like a farm, but I'm going to find one. I'm going to figure it out.
But it's a legit concern. Like, I flew back from Korea and I had like a 6-hour layover in the LAX airport. And I mean, just being in that 6 hours, I got so bloated and I could feel the energy of like the country. And I remember I was being in the airport and I messaged my friend in Austin and I was like, is it just me? Like, you can tell me I'm crazy. Like, I'm giving you permission to tell me that I'm crazy, but is it just me? Or is the energy in the United States like unstable as fuck? And she was like, girl, you are not crazy. Like something is going on in that country. Like she was headed off to like Alaska and for the summer. And she was like, I can't wait to get up to Alaska away from the mainland and away from all this crazy and away from all this energy. And I was like, okay, good to know. I'm not crazy. I don't know what is going on in that country, you guys. My heart goes out to all of you.
Well, that's interesting that she wanted to get away from the mainland to Alaska because apparently I'm going to assume it's different in Alaska.
Well, there's like, no one in Alaska. It's like Alaska is the largest state by landmass and it's got like a population, I don't know, I'm making this up because I honestly don't know statistics, but it's like got a population of like 1 million for being the largest landmass state in America.
That's interesting. Okay.
No one lives in Alaska. It's the freaking Arctic, for God's sakes.
Okay, well, I get that. Like, you know, obviously it's not the most ideal climate. But I just think that's interesting that it's such a dramatic energetic difference. I mean, I guess being less people there, like that makes sense. I was just kind of wondering if it's similar in Hawaii because, you know, they're away from the mainland.
Yeah, they are. But Hawaii has, I mean, especially if you're on Oahu, like Hawaii has 1 million people on that tiny ass island. So the energy is different because like there's so many people compacted on a tiny ass island.
Oh, gotcha.
I hope this discussion was enlightening about just being kind of stuck in the trauma response freeze mode. There are 4 trauma responses that we do have a trauma series. But the trauma responses are actually, I call them the four Fs. So it's fight, flight, freeze, and fawn.
Yes.
And so obviously no trauma response is ideal, but if the the frozen one, you have to address that first, because when you're frozen, you're not going anywhere. You're not moving forward and you're not moving backwards. You're just stuck. And so without addressing that trauma response first, if you are in freeze mode, or because I have noticed like, multiple people have more than one trauma response, but if you do not address freeze first, then you're in for a really rough road.
Yes, Allie's absolutely right that the freeze mode state is going to keep you from doing anything else. And at the end of the day, you just kind of have to figure out where it's coming from and look at why, you know? And once you can do those kinds of things, you can start to shift yourself out of it. But it does require a lot of effort and a lot of, you know, focus and intention. So anyone can do it, but it's not going to be easy. And, you know, one of the reasons why we did this episode was to paint a more clear picture of what it does require and take.
On a last note, I just want to end this, and this actually could be its own discussion, but it's not going to be. Something that I have really had to work with Tiara the past few days is really helping her see what is truth and what is ego. And I think that the ego also really is very detrimental to the false ascension matrix. Because obviously, if you live in love and light and you think like, oh, I feel lighter, I feel more positive and everything's great and, you know, I'm in a better mood. You kind of get stuck into this egoic part of your brain of things are getting better and things are going to start coming my way. And I think the awareness that you want to bring to that is if things aren't getting better and if things aren't coming your way and if you're not manifesting, because those are all signs of changes need to be made. And yes, it does require an amount of self-awareness, but there are clues all around us. We just have to have the self-awareness to know if something is working or if something isn't working. And if it's not working, that's when you have to really start to ask yourself, like, okay, why isn't this working? And I know your brain and your ego doesn't want to go there, but that's when you have to start looking at your truths and you have to start looking at your shadows and you have to start looking at your behaviors and you have to start looking at some very, very tough things that most humans don't want to do because people don't like to admit their faults. People don't want to be wrong. People don't want to be in this state of despair or state of discouragement and being like, I can't do this. Like, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. This is too hard. And then that's kind of when the trauma response of freeze kicks in. And then you're just like, oh, I'm stuck.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. And I wish you guys all the very best.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.
All right. Take care, you guys.